We're continuing our sermon series entitled Pre-Decide. And we're talking about the advantage of making decisions in advance. And we're using the book of Daniel to help us find out sort of how we should pre-decide things. Leanne last week talked so ably about making decisions in advance makes us ready to deal with whatever circumstances life throws at us. Whatever we're confronted with, if we've made pre-decisions, we already know what we're going to do. I mean, Daniel and his buddies never expected to be plucked out of the captives and taken to go and live with the king of Babylon. They never expected that, but because they knew who they were and whose they were, they knew what they stood for, and they were ready for what came. Leanne last week also talked about how many decisions a person makes each day. About 35,000 is the number. I think I maybe made 20,000 just during our golf round yesterday, trying to figure out what club to hit, and not doing a very good job of it, I would point out. But when we face all kinds of decisions and all kinds of things that come before us, it's helpful if we've already made the decision about who we are. I mean, the truth of the matter is the decisions that we make project our path. If we make good decisions, good things happen for us. If we make bad decisions, guess what? Bad things happen to us. I mean, I heard somebody say the other day, you make bad decisions, you get stupid prizes. And that's true. The decisions that we make through the course of our life project our future and project how it will come out. If you pre-decide that I will be truthful in all things, and then you practice being truthful in all things, guess what? You become truthful in all things. The decisions that we make and that we practice actually become the things that we value. They say who we are, they say what we are, and they say whose you are. When we pre-decide and then we live by it, it becomes our values and who we are. But here's the catch. When we pre-decide, the world will pick at us and try to get us to change our mind or maybe not act in, say, a truthful way this one time. Or we can play games with ourselves. We can try to rationalize, oh, well, I don't really need to tell the truth this time. I'll just tell a little white lie. I'll give you an example of how this can work. My son went to the United States Naval Academy, and he had to travel in uniform. And so I watched him travel in uniform, and I just made a commitment that anytime I was in a restaurant and there was a service person eating in uniform, I would buy their food. Lunch, dinner, breakfast, it didn't matter. And I would try to do it anonymously, and I was sometimes pretty good at that, and sometimes not very good at that, and sometimes I was the only other dude in the restaurant, and it was pretty clear who bought this person's lunch. But when I served in Lufkin, one of the best hamburgers in town was the Angelina County Airport. And so I was sitting in the Angelina County Airport, and it's really so good, and their pie is awesome too. People will get in their airplane and rent it or take their own plane, fly to the Angelina County Airport so they can get a burger and some pie. It's also a place where the National Guard stops to refuel. So I'm sitting there eating my hamburger, almost done, and I look and a Chinook helicopter lands right there at the Angelina County Airport. If you don't know what a Chinook helicopter is, it's that great big one that's got the two sets of big blades on it. I'm sitting there and I'm watching, and about 15 or 20 soldiers pile out of this Chinook. Now, I've already got my bill. I could like run out of there real quick and not have to do that, because the rule that I made for myself is if I'm in there, so if I get out before they get in, I wouldn't be, that went through my head. And I stopped myself. I was talking to myself, Mike, that's not that, no. And so I walked up to the waitress, I gave her my credit card and said, every one of these guys, and they happened to all be guys, they're on me. Just tell them their lunch is paid for. And so that happened. I closed out before they got all their food. I was able to close out my bill and I went home. And on the way, I called my wife and said, honey, there's a $150 credit card charge on the on the credit card from Angelina County Airport because I had to buy a bunch of soldiers' hamburgers. But we play those games with ourselves, right? We make a rule and then we try to rationalize ways that we can get around it, or ways that we can make it not count. You see, Daniel knew this, and Daniel lived this out. He made predecisions about who he was and whose he was. And our text today comes from the book of Daniel, chapter 2, verses 17 through 23. But before I read the text to you, let me just set the stage. King Nebuchadnezzar has had a dream. And this dream has greatly disturbed his spirit. And so he calls all of the wise men, all of the interpreters to his court and says, I have had this dream and it has greatly disturbed me, and I need you to tell me what it means. And his wise men and his interpreters all sat there and said, oh, king, may you live forever. Tell us what your dream was and we will tell you what it means. And the king says, oh no, you tell me what my dream was, and then you tell me what it means. And these guys were like, what? In all the world, no king has ever required this of his people. And the king got upset. And so he issued a decree that all the wise men of Babylon should be killed. Now, Daniel and his partners, his guys that were he was his friends, were among those wise men in the king's court. And the head of the king's court came to Daniel and says, hey, Daniel, time to die. The king's made a decree. And Daniel looks at him and goes, well, what's the hurry? And he said, the king's decreed it. This is a deal. And so he says, let me go talk to the king. Daniel goes and he talks to the king and he buys some time. He says, king, give me some time. Let me see if I can figure this out. And so the king gives some time to the wise men of Babylon. And that takes us to the point in which our text begins today. Then Daniel went to his home and informed his companions, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and told them to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his companions with the rest of the wise men of Babylon might not perish. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night, and Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel said, blessed be the name of God from age to age, for wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons and deposes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. To you, O God of my ancestors, I give thanks and praise. For you have given me wisdom and power, and now have revealed to me what we asked of you, for you have revealed to us what the king has ordered. This is the word of God for the people of God. So Daniel walks up to his friends and goes, hey guys, we have to pray. We have to pray that God will reveal to us what the king's dream is, oh, by the way, so that we don't get killed. There's no drama. There's no weeping or wringing of hands. Oh, woe is me. The king wants to kill us. It's just that we need to pray. And we assume that they did. The text is silent on that as to whether they prayed or not. But we assume that they prayed, and it is revealed to us, the reader, that Daniel receives a vision in a night dream. We don't get what that vision was until later in the chapter. But what we do get is Daniel immediately giving thanks to God for having revealed this to him. So the rest of our text, after we find that this is revealed to Daniel in a night dream, it's a hymn. It's a hymn of praise. Daniel has this revelation, and he immediately begins to sing God's praise. I mean, how often in your life, when God reveals something to you, that is your first reaction to give God praise and thanks? To thank him for his response. I don't know about you, but if I had been Daniel, I'd have probably said, "Woo, look what I did. I figured it out." Sometimes we can forget that things are a gift from God and that our praise is what is due God. I'll give you an example from my life. I remember I was exploring my call. Wasn't sure what God was wanting me to do. I've shared with you some of this story. But I was praying for God to reveal to me, hey, I hear you calling, what are you calling me to do? And over a period of time, God revealed to me that he wanted me to go into the professional ministry. And I have shared with you, and I will share with the world, when I recognized that, I laughed. I laughed so hard that God would want somebody like me to go into the ministry. And then I shook my head, and I was like, sir, things must be way worse for you than I knew if you're calling someone like me to go and do your work. But what I did not do was say, thank you, Lord. What I did not do was say, thank you for the revelation, because I was scared. I was scared about what it meant. I was scared about what it meant for my family. Now, I have subsequently thanked God and given him credit, okay, you knew more than me when you were doing this. But how often does God reveal something to you and you fail to thank him and praise him? So the lesson is that when God delivers things to you, immediately give thanks. Give thanks to God for what he has done for you. Daniel makes it very clear that that's what we are to do. And in his hymn of praise, he makes it clear that he recognizes that God is God and Daniel is not. He makes it very clear. And that should be our thanks, recognizing that God is God and we are not. That our opinion doesn't matter. That God will save whom God will save. We should always be grateful. Daniel has pre-decided that he will be faithful. And we saw last week that he was also ready. We also saw in the lesson from last week when they were plucked out and sent to live with the king, they were offered royal rations. And they said, no, no, no. We're faithful Jews. We want to stick to our dietary restrictions. And they did, and we know how it turned out. Daniel has pre-decided that he will be faithful, and he is faced with his imminent death. He is not frightened at all. This guy comes and says, "Oh, Daniel, we're going to kill you now because the king has made this decree." And he calmly says, "Well, what's the hurry? And let me go talk to the king." And he buys some time. He's unafraid. And then he comes back to his friends and he says, "We need to pray." You see how ready Daniel was to pray? That's a lesson for us, that we need to be ready to pray all the time, at any instant. We need to be willing to turn to God in prayer. Daniel is faced with his death, and he doesn't blink. He is not frightened, because he knows God is faithful. You see, because we are faithful, and because God is forever faithful, when we are faced with death, we can look death right in the eye and we can say, "You are not the last word. When you come for me, this is not the end of my life, but the beginning of a new one, reunited with my loved ones and sitting at the right hand of God, my Savior." Do you realize how much power that is? That God is that faithful to us. Daniel had no doubt that his prayer would be answered. I want that kind of faith in God. I mean, I don't know about you, but when I have these moments when the world is falling down all around me, and everything seems at an end, I don't know about you, but I sometimes look up to God and I'm like, "Where are you? This is not helpful. My world is falling apart. Where are you?" But because God is faithful, we know that He will deliver. Maybe not in this lifetime, but ultimately, we know how the story ends. We know that we end up in the loving embrace of Jesus, our Savior. I want to have faith like Daniel. I want to pre-decide that I will be faithful, but I also want to have the faith in God that Daniel has, that He will respond. He will be faithful no matter what. Daniel pre-decided that he would be faithful. Period. No ifs, ands, or buts. No tricky machinations of his brain trying to rationalize something. He would be faithful. So this week, I want you to aspire to be faithful like Daniel. But I also want you to look for the ways in which God is faithful to you. Because you serve a God who will not fail. The promises that He has made to you will be kept. Period. The God of the universe loves you, and He will not fail you, no matter what. Let us pray. Gracious and almighty God, help us to believe in You like Daniel does. Help us to have faith that You are with us all the time. No matter what life throws at us, let us face it as Daniel did, with a resignation that you are present and that you are faithful. Pour that faith into us. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. All God's children said, amen.